Hello, and welcome to Edison Talks, a podcast by Edison Group, where we discuss a variety of topics of interest to investors.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Edison Talks. I'd like to welcome Jean-Philippe Melon, CEO of Quantum Genomics, back to the podcast. How are you doing, JP?
Hi, Max. Doing great. What about you?
I'm great. Maybe we can just start by, can you give a brief overview of quantum genomics?
So quantum genomics is developing firibastat, first-in-class, and it's a brain aminopeptidase A inhibitor, which is designed to lower blood pressure in humans by acting directly on the renin-angiotensin system in the brain. Firibastat has the potential to treat difficult-to-treat and resistant hypertension and heart failure. And as you know, the company has initiated FRESH, and FRESH is a phase 3 pivotal trial of firibastat that's currently enrolling in the treatment of difficult-to-treat and resistant hypertensive patients. And this study is being conducted in the US, in Europe, in Canada, but also with our first partner biolab in Mexico and Brazil.
Great. And then could we talk about the indications you're focused on? So you're currently focused on refractory hypertension, heart failure. Can you just describe those markets, how big they are, and the unmet medical need?
Hypertension is a chronic condition affecting 1.1 billion people worldwide. And hypertension is also associated with shorter life expectancy. And that's due to various complications resulting from increased blood pressure. And among other complications, resistant hypertension can lead to heart failure, coronary artery disease, stroke, kidney disease, and peripheral artery disease. So complications resulting from hypertension are the leading cause of death in the world, number one in the world. And so currently available treatments have been successful in treatment hypertensive patients, 150 million or 15%, 1/5 of hypertensive patients worldwide are treatment resistant. So that's a huge, huge market for our product, firibastat. Moving to heart failure now, heart failure can result from many forms of heart disease, including heart defects, cardiovascular disease, valvular heart disease, heart infections, or cardiomyopathy. And heart failure is a morbidity that is increasing worldwide due to the aging population and decrease in overall cardiovascular health. And currently, heart failure affects around 40 million people in the world. So that's also a huge market for our product, our asset, firibastat.
Great. And then, so can you just talk about the difference between firibastat and the current standards of care in these indications?
So current solutions for treatment-resistant hypertensive patients involve extensive lifestyle changes to address the many potential factors contributing to the disease, as well as multi-drug regimens that are prescribed based on the physician experience. These regimens can also have detrimental effects on kidney function, leaving patients with associated renal failure with few to no treatment options. And with no standard treatment or few options, treatment-resistant hypertensive patients are often left in a state of cardiovascular risk, high cardiovascular risk, and therefore susceptible to the host of complications associated with chronic high blood pressure. And the most current treatments for heart failure include ACE inhibitors and angiotensin blockers, beta blockers, mineralocorticoid receptor antagonists, diuretics, angiotensin receptor and neprilysin inhibitor, and lifestyle changes. You know, Max, despite recent breakthroughs in heart failure treatment, there still remains 50% mortality rate within 5 years for patients diagnosed with heart failure. So definitely, it's very important to bring a new product in the market.
Okay, and so you released some very positive data back in 2018 related to the New Hope study. Can you just talk about that data?
Yeah, New Hope was a huge, huge success. New Hope evaluated the effects of oral firibastat in primary hypertensive patients in demographics that have higher incidence of resistant hypertension. New Hope enrolled 256 patients across the U.S., with primary hypertension, overweight or obese, of which 54% are African Americans and Hispanic Americans, 44 are female, and 26 are over the age of 65. We were very successful, not only because the outcome was very positive, but also because the recruitment ended 6 months ahead of schedule. So what about the results? The results show that treatment with our product, firibastat, resulted in a highly significant change in office systolic blood pressure from baseline, which was the primary endpoint of the study. And firibastat lowered the office systolic blood pressure from baseline by an average of 9.6 millimeter of mercury after 8 weeks of treatment in a high-risk and diverse and often resistant population. And I think also what's very important to highlight, Max, is that firibastat efficacy was similar in the black and non-black populations and contrary to other antihypertensive classes. And firibastat, very important, was well-tolerated and demonstrated an excellent metabolic and safety profile.
Great. And so the FDA has said that you need a relatively small phase 3 program, at least small for a cardiovascular indication, to get approval. Can you just describe what those studies will look like?
Yeah. I mean, first, let me say that we work very closely, really hand in hand with the FDA. And we got full support that there is a true medical need. And based on those results from the New Hope, so Quantum will now initiate the phase 3 pivotal FRESH study in resistant and difficult to treat patients with firibastat. So, you know, this study is a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled pivotal phase 3. And we have selected 70 hospitals worldwide, as I mentioned before, in the U.S., Canada, Europe, and in Latin America also. So the study will enroll 500 patients with difficult to treat and resistant hypertension, and the patients will receive either 500 milligrams of firibastat or placebo for 3 months in addition to their current treatment. And the primary endpoint will be the reduction in systolic automated office blood pressure from baseline.
Great. And so in terms of the primary endpoint, what do you think, or what magnitude of blood pressure lowering do you think you'll need to see?
Well, you know, I mean, there are clear-cut rules here. The primary endpoint will be the reduction in systolic automated office blood pressure from baseline. And the FDA and the same for the European Medical Agency, they require a reduction of 5 millimeters of mercury. So, you know, as I mentioned before, in the New Hope study, we had a decrease of 9.6. So we are very confident that we will meet this number of 5 millimeter of mercury.
Great. And then just with regards to the heart failure study, can you just describe that study and then also what the phase 3 development program might look like in that indication?
Well, after collecting excellent data on animal efficacy and human safety in the phase 2A study, we have announced the design of the phase 2B study in heart failure. When was it? It was in last June 2018. And the study, CORAL, was initiated in the first quarter of 2019. and will evaluate the efficacy and the safety of firibastat compared to ramipril after an acute myocardial infarction. So CORUM is a multicenter, multinational, randomized, double-blind, active control trial with three parallel groups. And the study will enroll approximately 300 patients enrolled within 24 hours after acute myocardial infarction and treated with primary percutaneous coronary intervention, PCI, and with reduced left ventricular ejection fraction. So study subjects are randomized to receive either low dose of firibastat, standard dose of firibastat, or ramipril for 3 months. And the primary endpoint will be the change from baseline in left ventricular ejection fraction assessed by cardiac magnetic resonance after 3 months of treatment. And other endpoints will include cardiac events, functional status, safety, and change also in the biomarkers.
Okay, great. And but in terms of like going forward, like how big do you think the phase 3 development program is going to be?
Well, you know, it's not our intention to initiate the phase 3. We will partner the product right after the phase 2B, called the CORUM study.
Okay, and that actually is a nice segue to kind of the next topic I wanted to ask about. I mean, you've done a great job recently in signing deals for firibastat for hypertension in various regions. So can you just talk about those deals, both about the, you know, where firibastat is now partnered and also kind of the types of partners that you're signing the deals with?
Well, for hypertension, as I already said many, many times, the key players are regional partners. That's the reason why we have decided to select the best partners in the different regions or countries in the world. So we signed the first partnership in December last year with Biolab for Latin America. We signed in September this year with Orient Europharma for Taiwan, Southeast Asia, Australia, and New Zealand. Then after some days, we announced a new partnership with Qilu, which is one of the major players in China, for China, Hong Kong, and Macau. And then 2 weeks after, we announced a partnership with Xeliton for Canada. So let me say, Max, how I can phrase that. More to come before year end.
Well, wonderful. And these are generally, though, I mean, while they're smaller regional companies, these are all established companies with sales forces, lots of other products, correct?
That's absolutely correct. They have the full infrastructure. You know, so firibastat will be an important asset because all those companies already have cardiovascular products. They have sales force detailing products towards also the cardiologist. So definitely they have a lot of know-how and expertise.
Great. And then, so the hypertension strategy is obviously with the regional partners. Heart failure would require a global partner. Could you just talk about your licensing strategy for that?
That's a little bit tricky. In Europe, we might have one partner or different partners. We already have offers on the table, and thanks to the lockdown, we have even more time, even over the weekend, to analyze all the proposals and to balance the different offers. So, but we might also have the same partner for Europe and US. So definitely this is a work in progress. I'm really sorry, Max, but I can't give you more details, information, but we have the chance to speak in the coming weeks.
Great. And is this for heart failure or hypertension?
Both.
In terms of pharma interest, One thing that's interesting about what happened under COVID is pharma has not really been interested in anti-infectives for a very long time, it seems. And now, obviously, you know, with like Operation Warp Speed and all of these different clinical trials in for various therapeutics and vaccines, I mean, they're clearly very interested and invested a lot of money in a short period of time. So kind of reality made them change their strategy very quickly. Do you see something similar? Obviously not to the same level, but do you see something similar happening in cardiovascular because of the genericization of that segment, they've been sort of underinvesting recently?
Yeah, very good question, Max. You know, I had a chance to work for more than 20 years for a big pharma in different countries in the world. And, you know, the strategy was very clear some years ago. It's all about specialty. It's all about oncology. What we have noticed over time is that, and especially in oncology, it becomes more and more difficult with the payers. That's point number one. Point number two, what I've noticed is pharma companies having a lot of interest for niche products. And our product, Firibastat, targeting the difficult to treat and the resistant hypertensive patient, so 15% of the population, this is a niche product. This is a specialty product, even if we will address 150 million people around the globe. So what I've noticed is that thanks also to new innovations like factor 10A inhibitors in the field of cardiovascular, I've noticed that, again, there is a major interest from the pharma companies in cardiovascular disease. I think one very good example is Novartis with Entresto for the treatment of heart failure. I think this is one of the best examples.
Great. So maybe we could just wrap up and you can discuss, you know, what are the key milestones that investors should look for over the next 6 to 12 months?
Partnerships, and partnerships. We signed already 4 partnerships. And as I mentioned before, more to come in the coming weeks and also in the next months. And point number two, we have been always very successful in our clinical trials. So in December this year, that will be the end of the recruitment for the phase 2B Quorum study in heart failure, and then the results will be available. And next year, during the last quarter of next year, 2021, that will be the end of the pivotal phase 3, the FRESH study. And so those are very important milestones, again, on top of the partnerships.
Great. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a very exciting 12 months. Really looking forward to seeing how things progress. So, JP, you know, thank you so much for joining us again. This was great as usual.
Thanks, Matt. And talk to you soon.
Thanks, JP.
Our theme music is by Hazard.